from WisPolitics in Madison. You're listening to Capital Chats.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a WisPolitics Capital Chats podcast brought to you by Spectrum. I am Adam Kellenhofer, reporter over at WisPolitics, and today I am joined in the office by my colleague Kate Morton to talk about an interview she just did with School Choice Wisconsin President Nick Kelly. So, Kate, how did the interview go?
It went well, Adam. We touched on a lot of different subjects. Some of the main things we focused on were some of their accomplishments during the legislative session, some things they hope to accomplish in the future, and also the potential impact of the new maps on their lobbying efforts. But let's hear what he had to say. All right. Well, thanks for joining me on the podcast today, Nick.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate. I appreciate the ability to talk with you and talk to our Wisconsinites.
Yeah, of course. So I just want to start off right off the bat talking a little bit about the legislative session. Maybe you could tell me what were some of the goals going into that and what you felt like you were able to accomplish with School Choice Wisconsin.
Sure. We had goals of going into the session. We had three major goals. We wanted to definitely look at increasing the funding per pupil for choice students and charter students across the state. We also wanted to develop a Strengthen and Simplify program, which combined all of the programs into one, and then also removed some of the barriers to entry. And then we looked at also having another bill out there for decoupling, pulling the choice schools out of the state funding formula and putting it through GPR and having it not be a tax burden to Wisconsin taxpayers. Those were our three major goals. And our biggest win was the funding increase. It was a historic increase for our schools. It's really allowed them to do some very innovative things now, from increasing teacher pay to academic improvements to facility changes, and grow a lot of their programs and strengthen a lot of the things they already had in place. And we are just so grateful to all the legislative champions who made it happen. Both sides of the aisle came together to make these changes for our kids and for our schools, and we can't be more grateful for that.
Yeah, you also mentioned the decoupling proposal. Maybe you could say a little bit more about that and some of the criticism that we heard from across the aisle, how you feel like things unfolded.
Sure. When you look at decoupling, the argument comes that the public schools aren't funded as they should be. And the increases were a result of hurting public schools, but that's not what we were trying to do with decoupling. Decoupling really did not benefit our schools in any way. It actually was put into place to be a huge win for taxpayers. It would be a huge win for public school districts as well. It is something that has been established in Milwaukee, and it should work for outstate as well, not just in the city of Milwaukee. It just makes sense for us to go in that direction. We were looking at our numbers and our very in-depth data that we've pulled, about $220 million in property tax relief for Wisconsin taxpayers. It would resolve a major complaint of many on the other side against the choice movement, that it would hurt the taxes. It would remove that argument. It also would help remove a significant amount of complications for DPI and public schools when they are working their budgets for the upcoming year in the funding formula. So we looked at it as something that we were willing to help with to try to clarify and fix a problem that existed for many. And the unfortunate reality was that many didn't look at that. They just focused on our increases and did not want to move forward and trying to assist anymore with any other bills that we had put out.
Yeah, I think you had also mentioned, some of the criticism on the other side. Do you expect there to be maybe some criticism continuing in the next legislative session? This was introduced a little bit late. What are plans on this for the future?
We plan to continue to hopefully work with both sides of the aisle to try to resolve this issue and move forward with decoupling. Criticisms have always been there for all 30 years of the program being in existence. And we hopefully can prove the importance of the program just by the amount of impact we have statewide with how many parents are making this decision to utilize the program and how expansive the program is becoming, and allow the parents' voices to be heard to quiet some of that criticism.
Yeah, I think you also mentioned a third proposal to kind of combine the different school choice programs. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we had it was the Strength and Simplify program, which the state has four choice programs. You have the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, the Racine Parental Choice Program, the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program, and the SNSP. Those programs have been Frankenstein together over the years. And over time, there has been a lot of overregulation and undue processes that were put into place that are very confusing for all parties involved, for the schools, the parents, DPI, and regulating all that it becomes problematic. And as the problem grows, the program grows, the problems are going to continue to grow as well with managing that. So we worked very closely with DPI over the last year to try to put together a bill in which that would clean up a lot of that, helping with enrollment processes, helping with staffing, helping with staffing at DPI, helping parents have an easier process to navigate the system, and also helping schools with the amount of audits that were required, and a number of other issues that were just more minutia. And once you get into the programs, you would realize how much of an impact it would have in terms of the time frames in which parents could enroll and when new schools could enter. And we thought we had a pretty good proposal put together there. And that's something that we will continue to work towards. We still maintain our good, solid relationship with DPI, and hopefully that in the next sessions, we can bring that forward again and even clean it up a little bit more and make it a more solid bill, and hopefully bring some more change to the program to simplify everything, because it's just getting to the point now where the way it was done needs to change. And this bill would definitely create an opportunity to fix those things.
Yeah, so looking forward to the next legislative session, what are some of the big things that you hope to accomplish or maybe make progress on?
Sure. Something we've come to realize is we really need to be focused on our school's autonomy and their ability to be able to function and teach to their community in which they deem best is best for them. And we want to make sure that there's not overregulation that's going to be brought forward, that's going to add on layers and layers of oversight by DPI, layers of suggested oversight from other agencies and other organizations that may agree that they think that's important to control the program. And we want our schools to be the spearhead of innovation. And when you have overregulation, it really chokes off the ability for the schools to be innovative and doing what's necessary to meet market needs and to progress academically to what students need. We're dealing with a number of issues coming out of COVID that have to be addressed with new thinking and new process of how we are educating our kids. And by regulating them more and more, it's going to become more difficult to address those needs. And we only hope that through not having as much regulation oversight, that will allow us to be able to address some of those concerns. We also want to make sure that parents are aware of the program. Year after year, we find out, even though the program has been around as long as it has, there are parents that just don't understand that this is an opportunity for them, and that it can really move the needle for their students academically. It can help a lot of students socially, and also with a lot of different issues that we see in education as a whole. Having a student find a home in a school that fits them best and allows them to be the best of themselves. And they shouldn't just be held to one particular school. And we want to make sure that parents have that opportunity, and the parent and the kids have that opportunity to grow in an environment that's going to best suit them for their education, so that they can be better citizens and they can just be better versions of themselves in the future.
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of kind of simplifying the program, and also trying to like spread awareness, basically.
Correct.
So I also wanted to ask, one of the big things we're going to be watching is the balance of the legislature. Now that we have new legislative maps, there is more of an opportunity for a majority. You know, historically, Democrats have been more skeptical of private school choice programs. So how do you think that could impact the work that you guys are doing?
I think it might bring about some challenges, but I think what everyone needs to understand is that this is a bipartisan program, right? This is something that is being used by Republican and Democratic families across the state of Wisconsin to better the lives of children. And that's what needs to remain at the forefront here, is that this is about kids and their futures and providing an education that's going to be best for them. Given that the maps will change, that's fine. But they have to remember that their constituents often benefit from the opportunities that are provided through the Choice program. And it makes Wisconsin and our cities and our towns better places because of having these opportunities for the kids. And that's really what needs to be the driving factor here, is that maps may change, but kids don't change, right? These are still families that live inside these areas that need this this option. You look at the statistics that just were produced by DPI. We now are looking at how many parents in the city of Milwaukee are using a choice option of either choice charter, open enrollment, right? And that's over 50% of the population has used a version of choice. That speaks volumes. Parents want options. They want to be able to put their kid where they're going to fit best. And I hope that's realized by both sides, and that this doesn't become a battleground, but something more where we could have commonality and common ground on in the future to better our state.
Yeah, I also wanted to mention there was, a challenge to school choice before the state Supreme Court. The court decided not to weigh in on that. Are you expecting any future challenges, and how would School Choice Wisconsin handle that if that's something that comes up in the future?
School Choice Wisconsin is always ready to walk the wall for our schools, no matter what it's going to take. We always know through the history of the program from the 90s until where we are in 2024, there has been always challenges and threats of lawsuits to come. We remain ready, and we are the voice of our parents. And when you have 55,000 students across the state right now that are going to be impacted by this, people are going to have to realize that when they do challenge this, they are challenging a large portion of our population and threatening the well-being of a lot of underprivileged students in the state of Wisconsin. And we will do anything to make sure that those students are protected and their rights are protected, the parents' rights are protected. And we will do everything to spread the words. And I think what you can see from this last lawsuit was our community came together very quickly in force to push back against this, and we're prepared for anything that may come because we're doing this for kids, we're doing this for our communities, and whatever needs to be done, we'll get done.
Well, thank you, Nick, for joining me. Is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I just look forward to another session, and hopefully we can continue to move the needle and grow education in Wisconsin and empower parents so that they have the ability to do what's right for their kids.
All right, Kate, thanks. It's always good to hear an update on what's happening in the education field in Wisconsin. And if our listeners want to read more about the education system or anything else going on in Wisconsin government and politics, they can head over to our website at wispolitics.com. But for now, I'm Adam Kelnhofer.
I'm Kate Morton.
Thanks for tuning in to WISP Politics Capital Chats, brought to you by Spectrum.